is former Congressman Pete Hoekstra. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Good morning.
Well, we appreciate being with you. The numbers are out, and when it comes to fundraising, the Hoekstra campaign has done a pretty good job.
We had a pretty good first quarter. We're pleased with where we're at. The most important numbers right now for us really are where this race is and how close we are to Debbie, and that Debbie is under 50%. And I think you're going to see this race tighten up even more, and people around the country are going to see that this is a very, very competitive race. That's what we're focused on.
It seemed like your name was at the forefront of the biggest challengers to win the opportunity to go against Senator Debbie Stabenow, but Clark Durant has raised a lot more money and raised his name recognition.
Clark's a good guy. And so we're going through this primary. That's exactly what they're for. We consistently are leading the primary by 40 to 50 points. And this whole thing really is not about the primary. Everything that you're going to see out of our campaign over the next 3 months is our vision for the direction that the country should head in, because the ultimate prize, the ultimate goal and objective is replacing Debbie Stabenow. Beating her in election in November and being sworn in as a new senator in January. That's what our focus is going to be. It's going to be a tough job. Beating an incumbent senator is hard, but I think we're positioned to make it happen.
It sounds like you think this is already in the bag. Mr. Durant or no one else can really be a formidable challenger for you.
Oh, no, I don't. No, you never take any election for granted. Not at all. It's just that, as we talk to a lot of people about the presidential primary, what they really don't like to see is they don't like to see Republicans bashing Republicans. They're very, very eager to engage in the debate about the difference between our vision for the future of America, the opportunities that we see, the positive opportunities that we see moving forward, rather than critiquing our Republican colleagues, and that's exactly what we're going to do. But no, I'll never take an election for granted. My first election is one where no one said that I could win, and we pulled a rabbit out of a hat. We won, and that started a political career. So I know you never take any election for granted.
Well, Debbie Stabenow and the Democrats are saying that we've got gas prices to go down, unemployment is down, job creation is up. They should be allowed the opportunity to keep moving forward.
Now, I'll tell you, last I checked, I didn't see gas prices were down a whole lot. Unemployment, in Michigan has improved, but since when do we think that 8.5% unemployment is a good number? When the president asked for the stimulus plan, he said that unemployment would never get above 8%, and we've been above 8% for almost all of his presidency, if not all of it. And so as I talk to people around the state, they're very nervous about the economic future. They're very nervous about deficits of over $1 trillion a year, and an unwillingness to debate and even have a dialogue about how we might reform entitlements. This is why this race is very, very tight, and it's also why the presidential race is tightening up. People are very nervous about the future, and they're very interested in engaging in the discussion. Is there a better way to move forward than the agenda that Debbie Stabenow and Barack Obama have put in front of the country? And I think there's a lot of people who are believing that there is a better way forward.
There's a stalemate between what's going on between the House of Representatives and the Senate in Washington, D.C., a stalemate, and it appears that even if you should win election and even if the Senate should tilt to the Republican side with a Democratic president, should Barack Obama win, there's still going to be a stalemate. There's still going to be a period of time where nothing really gets done.
Well, I really hope not. We in the 1990s, a Republican Congress showed that they could work very effectively with a President Bill Clinton. We reformed welfare, we restrained spending, we cut taxes, and we ended up balancing the budget. Barack Obama, at least for the last 2 years, has taken a different approach and more confrontational than what President Clinton ever did. And I sincerely hope that when I'm in the Senate in January, it's all about delivering solutions and getting things done. or we're going to continue to muddle through. We need to make some tough decisions to create an environment so the country can move forward.
Should the wealthy pay more in taxes than those who make less than $1 million a year?
I am a big fan of tax reform. This tax program that we currently have in place, 60,000 pages, people at the same income levels pay very, very different tax rates and those types of things. I've endorsed Herman Cain's 999 plan. It's exactly what we have in the state. We've got a flat sales tax, we've got a flat income tax, and we're moving to a flat corporate tax. I'm in favor of a flat tax, a fair tax. I'm in favor of fundamental tax reform that gets rid of the complexity, gets rid of the mysteries of how the tax code works, and enables, and gives everybody confidence that everyone is paying their fair share. And I think a lot of people now look at their neighbors and say, man, I bet I'm paying a lot more taxes than what they are, even though we're making about the same amount of money, because we think everybody else gets the tax break.
If you get these reforms through, there's still much concern that a lot of the social programs, especially those who help women and children who are in need, that those will get pushed by the wayside because there won't be enough money.
No, I don't think so at all. I think this is about where we start taking a look at making these programs work more effectively. It's what the private sector has done over the last 4 years. A lot of them have cut their internal budgets, but the direction from mandate or the mandate from their leadership isn't to cut costs, and we know that we're going to deliver a poor quality product or service to our customers. They're saying, we're going to cut the costs. You've got to take a look at how you're doing business and just do it more effectively with less money. And I think there's plenty of opportunity, as we have seen again over the last few weeks. When I was at Herman Miller, we'd have very nice sales meetings and reward our sales personnel for the jobs that they had done during the year. But when times got tough, hey, we canceled the sales meetings and we scaled back, even though the salespeople may have worked harder. But we recognized that we had to go through belt tightening. Only in the federal government, only at GSA will America and everybody be going through belt tightening. And GSA, and remember, this is the government watchdog on federal spending. This is the watchdog. They go out and they increase their spending by 33% on regional conferences. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. They're totally disconnected from what the average American is feeling each and every day. We apply the same principles that we're applying, that we see applied in the private sector every day to government. We can deliver a better quality product at lower cost, and we won't leave people sitting on the sidelines.
All right, final question for you, and it's something you and I have talked before about on this program, but we recently spoke with a spokesperson from Debbie Stabenow's office, and she said the fact that much is being made about her being Debbie Spend-It-All, when in fact you have a history, and all Republicans and all legislators have a history of spending money, and that's what your job is.
No, our job is not to spend money. Our job is to deliver results and to fulfill the Constitution and do what the Constitution wants the federal government to do. I voted against No Child Left Behind. I voted against Obamacare because I don't believe that those are constitutional functions of the U.S. federal government. Those are the responsibilities of states, local governments, local school districts, and parents, and those types of things. I look forward to having exactly that debate with Debbie. We have a very, very clear difference on the philosophy of what the federal government's role is, how we best deliver solutions to the American people, how we create an opportunity society. Let the debate begin. And the people of Michigan will have a choice. There are clear differences.
All right. Congressman, any time that you're in Lansing, we'd love to have you in studio, have a cup of coffee and chat more. You've got an open invitation. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you. Have a great day.